Welcome to the Risk and Repeat Podcast, episode 151. I'm Rob Reitz, Security News Director, and I am here with Alex Khalafi, Security News Writer. Alex, welcome.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me once again.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a friend.
Of course. Alex.
Someone to talk to other than my family.
Yeah.
Yes, we are in week three of our remote podcasting experience, not in Chernobyl, practicing the social distancing, sort of self-isolation, self-quarantine. You sound well. You sound healthy.
Yeah, I had a bit of a cough the other day, I've heard these stories of everyone having like these minor sniffles or this minor cough, and then they go into like full panic mode, but then it goes away after a few hours and it's just like normal stuff. So I had one of those.
We had a couple telemedicine experiences, which I will or telehealth experiences, which I'll tell. I probably shouldn't share with the public. But I'll tell you about offline that may entertain you. So, yeah, good stuff. So, we should, speaking of telecommunications, we should overview what we're going to be talking about today. We are going to be discussing a lot of goings on with Zoom. Zoom is obviously a very well known and suddenly hugely used video conferencing application software. The company was widely successful before coronavirus and the whole social distancing and quarantining practices that have been widely implemented across the world. And now it's become even more so. And there's a lot of other applications, a lot of other services. We are talking right now, you and I, via Skype. Mm-hmm. We use other applications, not just Zoom, but we also use, you know, at TechTarget, we use Teams and other apps as well for video conferencing. But Zoom has sort of, would you agree, Alex? It feels like it's sort of taken on a much higher, more visible profile. Like my kids know what Zoom is now. My parents know what Zoom is now. They're using it as like a verb suddenly, which is really weird to me. I don't know if your experience is similar.
Yeah, it absolutely is. My girlfriend uses Zoom not only for work, but also for the online training courses she's doing right now. Mm-hmm. I'm using Zoom. You're using Zoom. Your kids are using Zoom. Everyone's using Zoom, and this should be a great 2-3 weeks for Zoom. Not to say that there's anything great about what's going on in the world right now, but like financially, Zoom should have this in the bag, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, you would think that. It's not all roses for Zoom. The first big news this week was from Monday. And Vice News, Motherboard, which is part of Vice, reported that, the Zoom app was doing something a little strange. It was sending data about users of the Zoom app in, I believe, the iOS version to Facebook. And they were sending data to Facebook even if you did not have a Facebook account, which is strange. Now, the story points this out. The story, I encourage people to read it on Motherboard, written by Joseph Cox, very well known, very well respected InfoSec reporter. That type of data transfer, data usage, data partnership with Facebook is not unusual. They have a software development kit, SDK, that is widely used and that's sort of the price of doing business with Facebook when you use them for logins, and which Zoom did. Zoom, like, you could log into Zoom using your Facebook account. But it's still a little strange that, number one, it's sending data to Facebook about people that don't even have a Facebook account. And a little strange, too, that Zoom, this is especially strange, and I think this is where the biggest issue was, according to the Vice story and according to most people, I think, that read it, was that it was a little strange that there was nothing in the privacy policy about the Zoom app doing this, collecting data on not just Facebook users and sending it to Facebook, but people who don't even have a Facebook account. And that's a little strange. And I think probably worth a story. Now, the story blew up. And if I have this correctly, I think Zoom, within a couple of days, removed the Facebook SDK from the app, and it doesn't send the data anymore. And I know that we've written about this at TechTarget. I think our counterparts on the networking side looked into this and wrote something sort of following up on it. But yeah, so like the data was the model of the device, information about the user, the time zone, the city, so the geolocation, the telecom carrier they're using, unique advertiser IDs created by the user's device, things like that. So it's not like personal communications or anything like that, but still something that probably should have been disclosed and wasn't. And Zoom kind of turned around and said, well, we didn't know that Facebook was doing this, so we've removed it. And to me, that wasn't really the issue. To me, the issue was that, well, you didn't say this anywhere in your privacy policy, Zoom. You were doing this with Facebook. And yes, people know that Facebook SDK does this, and you just should have owned up to it. What did you think of this when you heard this?
So I think the big deal here is that it's not a big deal. Like, that's the saddest thing about this, is that it's not necessarily going to be seen as a big deal in the scope of the people who actually use Zoom. Like, people will see that story, and 90% of them, probably close to 100% of them outside of, like, our specific community, are going to be like, oh, that's not good. Oh, by the way, I should stop reading this news article. I have a Zoom meeting to get to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's... it might hurt them a little bit in, like, in the security community, but I don't think this is going to stick.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, the type of data that's being transferred, it's not unusual, and it's not anything. I don't think this is a Facebook thing specifically, and even as far as Zoom goes, Zoom has had some issues previously. Zoom got in trouble with some privacy advocates, privacy experts last year. They complained to the FTC about some of the things that they felt were out of bounds for Zoom to be doing. And I think people were just, you know, when you have a track record like that, when something like that happens, I think, and you don't include it in your privacy policy and there's not full transparency, obviously makes some people concerned. But you're right. I think I agree with you. It's not a huge deal. Did you feel like Zoom overreacted by just ripping the SDK out?
Well, I think that's the best thing they could have done. Mm-hmm. Would have been to play dumb and then to be like, oh, we'll take this out immediately. We didn't know this was here, even though they probably knew it was there. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think they overreacted. I think they appropriately reacted given the types of people who will pay attention to that news story.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, we're going to circle back to the Facebook Zoom report toward the end here, because there's definitely something I want to revisit. But let's turn to some other news here. Zoom bombing. Alex, what's your threat level with Zoom bombing?
Probably about a 4. if we're doing a scale out of 10, I'd give it about a 4. I don't think there's that much risk that I'm going to get Zoom bombed. There's not much risk that I'm going to Zoom bomb. It's like, it's funny up until, like, you see that people doing the Zoom bombing are sometimes using it to, like, share unsavory things with the Zoom call. It's not just like, hey, look at me. It's like some meaner spirited stuff, which is kind of a difficult thing.
Yeah, the thing that I'm sort of concerned about is, so for those that don't know, Zoom bombing is basically a practice of where someone can, either a prankster or unauthorized party or a bona fide threat actor can sort of invade or hijack your Zoom call by getting a hold of, you know, a participating member's account, by getting the URL. I mean, there's a number of different ways it can happen. And the thing that makes me concerned about that is, okay, if someone jumps into our news call, obviously not ideal. If someone gets on my kid's, you know, second grade Zoom call, and in the middle of a lesson plan, it turns into, you know, like a Fight Club thing, then that's going to be pretty disappointing. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen Fight Club?
I've seen Fight Club.
So I don't know if you caught the reference to the Tyler Durden Theater Time. But yeah, go back and watch it sometime.
Okay, I'll watch it again.
It's a great movie. But yeah, that worries me. I don't want someone in there with my kid's classroom invading it and doing stuff and showing them stuff that they shouldn't be seeing that could have psychological effects on them. But yeah, I guess the bigger issue for our purposes on the enterprise side, if I'm an enterprise and I'm doing a Zoom call that is not just your run of the mill staff meeting or day-to-day sort of check-in, that sort of stuff, and you're discussing important, you know, business plans, roadmaps, trade secrets, you're exchanging confidential information, you know, via voice, but still, and video. But if that is intercepted, that's not good. It's something I think enterprise users need to be aware of. You can password protect your Zoom calls. And if you're talking about anything that is sensitive that you want to keep secret, I suggest you do that. It makes it harder for people to get in there and start monkeying around and hijacking stuff. So,
yeah. The brilliance of the way you planned today's sort of podcast, if I can blow smoke a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
It's kind of a keep knocking down Zoom, keep punching Zoom while it's down, keep kicking Zoom while it's down kind of thing, where you got the Facebook SDK, right? And it's like, okay, that's like not great, but whatever. And then there's Zoom bombing. Uh-oh, security better be good if they're going to do Zoom bombing. Well, actually, they don't have end-to-end encryption and more security issues. And then, hey, looping back to the front, not to spoil everything, but the former CISO of Facebook says ditching the FB SDK will make Zoom less secure. So it's like,
yep.
Not only are all these things individually kind of bad, but when put together, at least looking at them in the way you structured today's podcast, it's like, uh-oh,
yeah,
Zoom is in trouble.
They snowballed is what it did. I'm glad you made that point. I was going to get to it later, but we should delve into it now as we sort of move to the encryption part of this discussion. Is that, yeah, I think that any one of these things on its own is probably no big deal, but taken collectively together in the span of a week or so, it's concerning. It makes me feel less sure of what I'm doing on Zoom. And again, it's not to say to enterprises that they shouldn't be using Zoom. It's I think if you're using Zoom, that's fine. It's fine for most people. I think most security experts out there that I've read sort of agree, but you should be aware of the privacy shortcomings, the technical shortcomings, and the possible vulnerabilities out there, as well as the privacy, you know, concerns. The technical shortcomings. So this one, of all the things out there, this is the one that's stuck the most for me. The Intercept did a report, I think it was just yesterday or the day before.
It was March 31st, so yesterday.
It's just like one thing after another for poor Zoom. Zoom meetings aren't end-to-end encrypted despite misleading marketing, the headline says. And yes, so they analyzed the app and they discovered, yes, there is no end-to-end encryption. And encryption is important for any of the, you know, the people that want to make sure that their communications are fully private. You know, whether you're using like a Telegram or a Signal app, although Telegram might not be the best example right now. And It's just like, if you don't have end-to-end encryption, you can't be completely sure that someone isn't taking data from you, or that is listening in on you, or is recording your video call, taking images from it. You don't know. This one really sticks out to me, and it's troubling in the sense that I guess I didn't expect them to really have an encryption, because it's hard to do. And if you do it, you sort of turn over management of those communications to the users, fully to the users. And when the government starts calling and says, hey, we think that someone's using Zoom to sell illegal prescriptions or, you know, traffic child pornography, they put pressure on organizations to cooperate with law enforcement. And if you don't want that headache, then you don't do end-to-end encryption. It's pretty much that simple. But the fact that Zoom had sort of consistently said, you know, or at least strongly suggested in a lot of cases, if not outright said, that they enable end-to-end encryption, that's a bad move. That's concerning. I mean, I know end-to-end encryption people think it's important. It's important for a lot of confidential communications. Most people aren't, you know, conducting confidential conversations that touch on national security or really and truly sensitive information. It's just, you know, sort of your run-of-the-mill private conversations like you and I are having right now, although this isn't private. That's a bad example because it's going online. But still, when we hang up, when we stop recording and have our private conversation and start using colorful language, it's something I'd rather not have online, but it's not the end of the world. So
I think this is the one headline that I think has the potential to reach people outside of our community.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have end-to-end encryption. Even if you'd have no idea what that is, you still go, oh, that's probably not good. And yeah, I want end-to-end encryption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel like, I mean, so you're sort of a newcomer still, although you've, you know, required obligatory compliment to you, Alex. You've done a great job so far, and you've really dove into the security beat, and you're becoming a cynical InfoSec journalist. But, you know, do you feel like from your experience and what you know and the conversations you have with other people, like, it seems like more people know what encryption is and how important it is and why it's required for truly private confidential communications. But I don't know if that's your experience as well. If people know like the value of encryption and what it means and what it does, that sort of thing.
Well, okay. Like, I know that encryption is for preventing data from being read by anyone other than the sender and the people, you know, reading it. But do your kids, do your parents? Like, there's plenty of people using Zoom now, I think, who don't necessarily have a strong idea of what encryption is, other than it has something to do with security.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe it's not a majority, but I think it's enough that, I don't know. I think I think this is the worst look out of all the bad looks that we're seeing today.
That's fair. Yeah, I would agree with you. And we should note before we get to the final point of the discussion, real quick, there have been, there was one at least report from, and this just broke, I think, late yesterday, that there is an issue with Zoom in that it sort of, there's a vulnerability that allows attackers to obtain your credentials via UNC links. So it's vulnerable. The client, the Zoom software, is vulnerable to a UNC path injection. I can get into all the technical stuff about this, the jargon about this. It's really, it's kind of complicated. But long and short of it is, it's something that makes this a little less stable and great. I don't know if Zoom, it doesn't look like Zoom has responded to this yet, but it is something that looks like that's going to need to be patched and taken care of, just so, you know, we're not running into issues where credentials are being exposed through Zoom. It's something you definitely don't want. We've got enough avenues for credentials being exposed. We don't need this happening as well. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. And then the last bit, as you mentioned, Alex, we should turn to a tweet storm, a Twitter thread from
by a fellow Alex,
former Facebook CISO, Alex Stamos, who, again, very well known, very well respected, is much of an authority on cybersecurity and as it pertains to a lot of things, not just Facebook, not just the web, not just identity and access management, but also social media, misinformation, the Russian hacking campaigns against the U.S. elections. He's tapped into a lot of things. He's now at Stanford. But so he took a huge issue with the coverage and I guess the subsequent media pile on of Zoom following the Facebook thing. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just read part of it because this part really stood out. So he said in, I think, the third tweet of this thread, he said, the likely impact of Zoom removing the Facebook login SDK is that more people will be credential stuffed and have their accounts taken over unless Zoom can build equivalent login security. I'm tired of people feeling morally superior while making things quantitatively worse. And when he says morally superior, making things, you know, worse, he's talking about the tech media. And he says, I mean, he basically says that in the follow-up tweets. I don't know, what do you feel on this? Where do you come down on this? Would you like me to go first?
Well, here's the reason why I'd like you to go first, is that I'm not going to just listen to what you have to say and then say I agree. The fact is, I have no idea what he's talking about. Like, I know enough about cybersecurity to be on this podcast now, I guess, or I'd like to think so. But what he's saying is like, it's making my head hurt.
Yeah, if I can put myself in his shoes, I think what he's saying is that the Facebook SDK, because it allows people to log in to Zoom using their Facebook account, it's a good thing ultimately, regardless of the data collection of non-Facebook users, et cetera, et cetera. It is a good thing because it gives people a way to log in securely to Zoom without having to create another account. And the more accounts, and he's talked about this before, a lot of people have talked about this, the more accounts you create, especially as a consumer, the more you open yourself up to credential stuffing. And credential stuffing, you know, password spraying. So basically, consumers reuse a lot of passwords. So the majority of people probably who have signed up for Zoom in the last month or so since COVID have probably reused passwords for their Zoom accounts. Maybe that's unflattering. Maybe that's an overestimation. Maybe I'm wrong and the majority of people haven't. I don't know. but it's that's sort of his argument. And that if you remove that and you don't give people a way to securely log in and use strong passwords, whatever, that it's bad. It makes security weaker. And I think what he's saying is, yes, you can have your story saying, look at bad Zoom for doing this bad thing with bad Facebook. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really help anything because they removed something that made it that actually made security better.
Yeah, if that's true, and I have no reason to doubt him, well, except my journalism mind being like, hey, he used to be involved with Facebook. I don't know if, but if he's correct, then I actually want to amend my entire stance at the beginning where I was talking about this. And if what he says is true, then I agree.
Yeah. How do I say this? In a perfect world, I think what I would have liked to have happened, what probably should have happened with this, is Zoom amends its privacy policy, says we're not going to send data on non-Facebook users to Facebook because there's no need to. We're going to keep the SDK, and we're going to keep allowing Facebook users to log in to the Zoom app, and we're sorry for not having this in our privacy policy. That did not happen. And it's not a perfect world. I'm not going to blame Motherboard or Vice or anybody for writing about this, because I do think that that's something that should have been in the privacy policy. And I, you know, the issue was one that I thought was important. I don't think it was sensationalized. I think the story, the original story, was very clear. I don't know about subsequent stories that sort of followed along the coverage of that breaking news. But I guess I would say, and I tweeted something to this effect to in response to Stamos's tweet, I think his point about this would be far, far stronger if Facebook did not have not only Facebook, but Zoom, but specifically for him, if Facebook didn't have a track record that was littered with questionable practices and outright abuses of data. I mean, they got in hot water for using mobile numbers that people had submitted specifically and only exclusively for two-factor authentication. They got caught using those numbers for engagement spam, for like marketing purposes. And they denied it at first, and then it came out later that, no, They did it. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a coding error. So I think that, like, he can say this, and I think in large part he's got a good point. I think his point, though, would be far, far stronger and more easily digestible for me personally, and probably a lot of people, if it wasn't, you know, if Facebook had a better record about these things, but they don't. And when you do these types of things now in the world that we live in, there's a penalty to pay. And did Zoom overreact? You know, maybe not. Is this really going to weaken security? Or are we going to see a rash of credential stuffing attacks? Maybe. Who knows? I honestly don't know. I know a lot of people have Gmail accounts. They can still use Gmail or their Google accounts to get into Zoom. I mean, it's not the only way. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the way you put it was way more digestible than the way he put it. So, like, now I'm changing like opinion again. It's probably blame the green in me, but like now I'm like, I like Rob's opinion better now. Granted, yeah. Rob's my boss, but yeah. I like the way you expressed that better than the way he expressed that, better than the way the original news stories expressed that.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, Facebook made its bed, and you're going to have to lie in it, or the company's going to have to lie in it. He's no longer there, and I'm not going to beat up on Vice or Motherboard or anybody over there for reporting something that I thought had legitimate news value. Whether there was an overreaction elsewhere, an overreaction by Zoom, missteps, whatever, it is what it is. So.
Yeah, whoever wins, Zoom unfortunately loses at least this week.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm sure they're going to be fine because the majority of people probably don't know. The public at least doesn't know much about this, and that's another thing I kind of took issue with Stamos's tweet storm. There is, I don't know that anybody in the general public is reading the motherboard or the Vice coverage and saying like my people in my kid's school are not looking at that going, well, we've got to do something. Let's go switch to something else. Or, you know, I just don't think it's going to permeate that much, but we'll see. I guess we should probably wrap that. Does that cover it for all the stuff we've talked about with Zoom? We kind of went over here a lot.
Yeah, we went over a lot. We went over 40 minutes worth of news.
Oh, good grief.
And if we're missing anything, we'll cover it next week or something if it's big enough.
Yeah, send us an email to either, you know, to Alex or myself, and we'll try to get around to it next week. I'm sure there'll be plenty more to talk about as time goes on. Not just with Zoom, but with remote sort of video conferencing and security and COVID-19 and all the other stuff. So,
yep.
Alex, I appreciate the time and thank you for joining me once again on this podcast.
Thank you, Rob.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Cert Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.